God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew, continued.
Disc 7.
Our last Sunday in Russia, we attended a Baptist church in a Ukrainian village not far from the Hungarian border. The singing was stirring, the prayers fervent, but when it came time for the sermon, the pastor did a strange thing. He walked off the platform, borrowed a book from one of the congregation, and took it back to the pulpit. It was the Bible. We had heard that there were ministers in Russia who did not have Bibles of their own, but this was the first time we had seen it with our own eyes. After the service, the pastor invited us to join him and his elders in his study for a brief visit. The visit began, as it so often did in Russia, with an attack. We had learned that this was a safety device, since all pastors knew that their actions were observed. On this occasion, the attack was against my automobile. "Tell me," the pastor said through a German-speaking parishioner, "which industrial complex are you the head of?" "But I'm not with any company." Our interpreter translated, but the pastor did not let the subject drop. "I know you're not telling the truth," he said, "for you have an automobile parked just outside. Only capitalists own automobiles. Laboring people walk." What could I do? It was impossible to convince him that I was a former factory worker, the son of a village blacksmith, with a good deal less guarantee of an income than he himself had. He just could not grasp these facts, and left the subject only out of politeness, or perhaps because he felt that he had safely established his antipathy for idle and moneyed classes. At any rate, we got to talking about the Second Coming of Christ, by far the most popular theological topic in Russia, and the tone of our conversation immediately changed. I drew my own Dutch Bible out of my pocket to follow the references he was making, and when he was through, laid it on the desk. I noticed almost at once that he had lost interest in the conversation. His mind was taken up with the Bible. He picked it up and weighed it in his hand, unzipped it, stared at the Dutch words he could not read, zipped it up again. Then he put it back on the desk. Not as I had put it down, but with great precision. He set it down on the corner, and slowly ran his finger along the edge so that it was aligned with the desk. And then, his voice distant, talking more to himself than to us, he said, "You know, brother, I have no Bible." My heart broke. Here was this important man, the spiritual leader of 1,000 souls who did not own a copy of the Bible. All of the ones we had brought with us were gone, and then I remembered. The little Ukrainian pocket Bible. "Wait," I shouted. I jumped up from my chair. The Bible societies would just have to take my word for it. I raced outside to my car, threw open the door, got the little Bible from under the seat, and ran back to the study.